So, you know, what we know is that folks with disabilities, you know, want to be able to participate in their own life. They want to be able to work. They want to be able to take part in their community. They want the same things as all of the rest of us do. I got to do one of these in Louisiana a couple of years ago, and we were talking about, you know, what we wanted. And at the time, I mentioned three things. I wanted to increase my retirement savings, pay off my house, and would like that third child to launch. The girls have done great. The boy is going to be the death of me. But really, you know, folks with disabilities, no different than anybody else. But, you know, capitalizing on, you know, the title of this presentation, nothing about us without us, right? This came out of the disability community. Really, you know, if you're going to serve people with disabilities, if you're going to make policy, if you're going to make rules, if you're going to work on benefit issues, if you're going to work around issues around financial things, let's make sure that people with disabilities have a voice in that as well. So let's go to the next slide. So what might that look like, from a special needs perspective? So, you know, what if we looked at this as, you know, doing more than just providing access to public benefits? I'm a person who has been on public benefits 30, 35 years ago, and let me tell you, it is not the most fun I've ever had in my life. But, you know, what if we use trust funds to help the beneficiary build a better financial future or a better employment future or a better volunteer future so that they could participate in some of that decision making, so that they could decide, you know, what they wanted to do, really focusing on inclusion of that person with a disability, of that beneficiary, for, you know, their objectives for what they want, not necessarily what the trustee thinks is right for them. You know, I've had, I've had the opportunity to be working in this industry for a while, and, you know, everybody has those amazing success stories, right? And I just want to share one with you right now. It's somebody Steve and I have both worked with for, I don't know, 25, 30 years. And, you know, when I first met this person, they had a small special needs trust, and they were trying to decide whether they wanted to work or not. And they wound up, you know, getting a job in the independent living world. And, you know, one thing led to another, and we sort of fell out of touch. And about 20 years ago, I heard the coolest thing. I heard that this person was buying their own home. And it had been a goal of theirs their whole life. And they had been working in independent living, and they had put some money away, and there had been an economic downturn in the area, so they were able to buy a house. And, you know, they started to build a financial future for themselves because they were supported to do that. They were encouraged to do that. But a few years after that, I had sort of touched base with them. They had fortunately bought the house in an area that had really increased in value, sold the house, and made enough money to move back home where their family was from, buy a house outright for cash. It was just amazing. But I had an opportunity to touch base with this person just about a month ago. So this is a person with a significant disability. They're a single mom. But, you know, they've been working in independent living. They've been working around accessibility. And they just got one of those dream jobs, right? And so that dream job had led to yet another move. But the conversation we were having the other day was how this person can use their stock options at the high-tech company to pay for their kids' college education. So I just want to sort of take you through that again. It was somebody who wasn't sure they wanted to work, were supported to do so, and, you know, 25 years later, they've built, you know, a financial future for themselves and their family, and are now talking about things like, you know, the tax treatment of stock options. Let's go to the next slide. Part of why some of this happens is self-efficacy or self-worth or ability to think you can get something done. This is a report that we quote a lot, because it's really important. We know that particularly for folks with disabilities, If there's a certain level of self-efficacy, they can achieve just as much as everybody else, right? Believing in themselves, believing that they're capable of it. And everyone in this room is in a position to be supportive, encouraging, and helpful to folks with disabilities. But here's the really interesting part. It doesn't matter what people like to do, as long as they do it well and they're supported. They could be interested in fantasy football, and if they do that really well, great. They could be interested in dog walking, and if that's what they do, that's great. They could be interested in washing windows, and if that's what they do and they're encouraged to do it and they take pride in that, that's great. It meets that sort of self-efficacy test that we know, again, long-term thinking here, over the long haul really makes a difference, not only in the financial lives, but also in the employment lives and the life satisfaction of folks with disabilities. Let's go to the next slide. So a little bit about my organization, because this is what we do. We work exclusively on issues to improve financial and economic outcomes for folks with disabilities. We've been doing this for about 17 years. We do policy work, we do research, we do small business development, we do financial coaching. We collaborate and innovate with nonprofits, with corporate, with government, with funders, to really make sure that this message penetrates all those different audiences, that folks with disabilities can work, that folks with disabilities can build a financial future.